Hey, friends, thanks for listening to the podcast. This is Pastor Freddie T. Wyatt at Real Life Church, and I'm so delighted that you're listening to the podcast today. We had an amazing Easter. So whether you worshiped with us at Real Life or whether you're listening and you were at another church on Sunday, I pray that your cup runs over. I had a great conversation with Pastor Ben Reed today. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope to see you soon.
This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our online community. We would love for you to join us at 8:30 or 10 a.m. on Sunday morning at the City Forum. In the meantime, if you would like to share a prayer request, make a financial contribution, or take a step at Real Life, you can text MISSION to 97,000. Now enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, Ben Reed.
Hey, everybody.
What's up, dude?
Hey, man. First kind of real time. I mean, I was on it a few weeks ago, but here we go.
Yeah.
First time just being here walking through some Easter
stuff. So we got to make sure you're talking into the mic right. DJ Clay Bay Bay. Is Pastor Ben over there doing what you want him to do?
I'm not going to ever call you that, Clay. Ever. Never.
So we're on Tuesday instead of Thursday.
That's right.
Grant Louder Clam Chowder is doing his advertising work. So, Pastor Ben Reed, you're on the podcast today. Today feels like Monday today because we were off yesterday. How you doing?
A little bit of the Easter hangover, but I'm okay. It takes a little bit to recover from a long, heavy weekend. We're doing house hunting too, and so it's good and it's exhausting all at the same time. So
you're on total overload.
Mm-hmm.
New job where you're like responsible for all logistics, moving pieces. So you're watching Easter unfold for the first time. Meanwhile, the day before you're looking at houses, or the day after you're looking at houses of where am I going to live?
It's both the day before and the day after. Yeah.
So it's like your emotions are being tugged in 100 different directions in your body and all the things. And right now you're commuting to the office about an hour drive every day.
An hour is probably on the conservative side.
Oh, no. Traffic's
good. Traffic's not ever great, but it's good. Good thought time and process time. So I don't hate it.
Do you remember when Russ Moore used to tell people, like, when he would get home, he would take a shower immediately to disconnect, like, work from home? He would tell us seminary students back in the day, and I don't know why, that used to stick with me. So when you started making the commute, I thought, well, at least there's a disconnect. It's just an hour long plus disconnect for you.
But I don't remember him saying, he was one of my favorites in seminary. I don't know how well it would go over if I walk in the house and go, hey, babe, I'll be back in 30 minutes. I'm going to go take a shower. But I get the sentiment there. I think for me, that's that kind of breathe, just decompress a little bit from the day before jump into family stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So typically when we walk through the door, it's on.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get a decompressing. Well, today's Tuesday. Sunday was Easter Sunday. It was your first Easter at Real Life. How was it?
It was incredible. I this is the last time that we're going to be in a rented facility for an Easter service.
Lord willing. Lord willing. No.
The Lord wills.
That's what I preach Sunday. I was like, yeah. James says, Lord willing, you who say this or, you know, you go to this or that city today or tomorrow, and then tornadoes are coming up. And yeah. I know this is absolutely terrible, but in the back of my head, I'm going, what is a tornado going to blow through and like demolish everything that's been built on our new building? You know,
I don't want it to do that. If it did demolish that old farmhouse in the front, maybe then we wouldn't have to plow it down in a few months.
Some people like that old farmhouse.
Who?
Well, I mean, some, you know.
Have they smelled it?
You got to go easy on that because Emma Binkley's family used to live in that house.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they grew up on the, they built the house, you know. So like her family is the one that sold us the land. You know,
awesome.
So the people that lived there before us, they didn't keep it up well,
sure.
You know, in the house, you know, it's deferred maintenance and yeah, it does not smell good. So, you know, the seasons, right? There's a time to build. There's a time to plow it down.
That's right. I think I was struck on Sunday There were a lot of things, but just how smooth everything went with it still being in a rented facility in a basically a gymnasium that we did worship. That really struck me, just how seamless the day was when there are lots of things on an Easter Sunday that could go wrong, that could fall apart. Yet it was an incredible day in a rented facility. It tells me God must be in control if things can go that well. I also I hung around the cafe area, and the level of love and care and intentionality that that team puts into even things like coffee. You know, maybe you think coffee doesn't matter in the grand scheme of eternity.
Get behind me, Satan.
Well, that's what people are going to be saying if we don't have the coffee. So, it's such a reflection of the gospel that this team is going, I want to make sure that coffee is prepared, that the right snacks are here. They brought out, you might not have noticed, but they brought out new snacks just for Easter. So that level of detail and care that they pour into what they do was so encouraging to me.
Kind of fired you up.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, that's not even getting into what God did in the worship center through teaching and through singing and all that. So that's even before you get in there, God was doing some incredible work.
I'm always struck by the great spaces that God has given us to meet in as a church because they've been really spacious. Like even the lobby area, like these huge ceilings, both in Carmel Elementary School and now in the City Forum. And we've been a little spoiled as a church plant. Like we've been a little spoiled with, you know, the kinds of, you know, the sizes of spaces that we've met in. You were on staff at Grace Community Church when you guys met at Rossview. Is that right?
Sure was.
Did it cause you to reflect upon those days being in the Forum? And if so, like what, you know, how did it compare to your experience in a previous mobile church setting?
I mean, we were set up tear down my entire time at Grace. And so that feels in that way, it feels very similar. It's also fun seeing some familiar faces from my time at Grace.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
People that carried the load then. And then part of me goes, you're just a glutton for punishment if you were set up tear down there, yet God's called you to be set up tear down in this season too. And I think we're always, I found myself, I don't want to project this on anybody else, but I found myself at Grace going, oh, just, you know, as soon as we get into a building, it's going to solve all these problems. And I don't say those same things anymore. It's almost like now that we have three kids, I'm not like wishing for that next phase with our third one. I'm going, oh, I love that he's a 5-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
And we're embracing this moment right now with him as a 5-year-old because I know that 6 is not the same.
Yeah.
Dang, I'm get a little teary here.
So Ben, you're our new executive pastor.
Yeah.
Folks are just getting to know you and your family. So why don't you reintroduce who makes up your family?
Okay. Laura is my wife. We will be married 20 years this summer. So we're going to hit the 20-year mark. We have 3 kiddos. Rex is 15. He's a freshman right now at Mount Juliet High School. Gracie Kate is our 4th grader, and Nash is our 5-year-old. He'll be a kindergartner in the fall, so he's still pre-K right now.
So you guys are looking for a house here in Clarksville.
We are.
Podcast listeners, if you want the Reeds to be zoned for CHS, if you want them to be zoned for Rossview, pray your prayers accordingly. And, you know, I mean, Kirkwood is in the mix, and, you know, who knows? You might find your dream home across the river, you know? So,
Montgomery, I mean, I went Monkey to, Central is... I went to the Clarksville High. So that, I mean,
I know.
And Freddie, you and I were rivals growing up.
Listen, if you end up like living in Rossview, it's going to be as hard for you as living in Clarksville High Zone has been for me. But now I'm like, I'm all in, like, Wildcats, let's go.
I asked you the first time I saw you with the Clarksville High hat on, which is still strange for me because you grew up Northeast.
Go Eagles.
That's not allowed to be said here. First time I said that, I said, is this hard for you to put that hat on? And you said, nope, not anymore. I'm all in on Clarksville High. It's because you love your kiddos so much.
Susan went to CHS. So it's a little easier, you know, knowing my bride. She was homecoming queen 1 year. You know, when your wife was homecoming queen at the Clarksville High School. And both of my parents went to Clarksville High School back when it was downtown. Okay, so Ben, it's really cool. Your folks are now attending Real Life.
Yeah.
Pete and Cindy Reed. It's been so great to see them. I'm looking forward to getting to see more of them. What did your family think about their experience? Not necessarily your parents, but your wife and kids. What did they, how was their Easter experience at Real Life? What may not be obvious to folks is, you know, when a family moves from somewhere they love, it's not always easy. They're going to miss things about their former friends and church and neighborhood and restaurant or all the comfort of what was known. How was Easter for them at Real Life?
Well, let me describe it from Nash's vantage point. He's our five-year-old. Sean DeGraw, who volunteers back in kids, but actually is our finance guy here on staff. He was just sharing the story from Nash on Sunday, and he said Nash just jumps in kind of like he owns the place. He said he's seen a lot of new kids kind of sit back on the wall and not engage when they're new. Because, I mean, for a five-year-old, it can be overwhelming to be in a new space with new kids that they don't know, a new leader they don't know. But Nash just jumps right in. And so that's Nash. Gracie, same way. She's already found a great friend in her group.
Do you call her Gracie or Gracie Kate?
Most days it's Gracie Kate.
Okay.
Yeah, we call her that double name.
Okay. She I love it. That.
Yeah.
I love that, Gracie Kate. I noticed on the beams where she signed Gracie Kate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's okay if I call her Gracie Kate.
Oh, yeah. We call her GK all the time.
GK. Do you call her GK?
I do.
Does she like that?
She does.
Okay. All right. This is good. Nicknames. Nicknames. There you go.
So she's jumped in and she's found a friend. And then Rex has been coming with me on Sunday mornings, which that's I'm not requiring that of him at all. He's volunteering. We leave the house at, I don't know, 5:20, 5:30. Wow. And he's setting up audio video back in kids. And then he was shadowing some different areas on Easter Sunday.
He's already getting his hands on the audio equipment in kids.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love it.
He loves it. He's jumping right in both feet and enjoying doing that.
How did Laura enjoy Easter?
It was great. I mean,
any mixed emotions? Is it hard?
All the mixed emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
hard being a new place and missing old friends and old worship environment.
Because, a church is not just a job for me, for her.
Yeah.
It's people. It's relationships. And so, and it's not that we're going, okay, well, we're never going to talk to anybody again at the church that we left. But it changes.
Yeah.
And so that's painful.
Yeah.
So we feel all those mixed emotions. But I think we're able to hold two emotions at the same time, sadness and joy.
Yeah.
And we're trying to do that.
Well, what was the best part? Like, what did your kiddos or your bride come away, saying about Easter for them?
Man, I think I've kind of talked about them. Let me talk about me. I just felt joy and hope. I was really, really energized. And it was part of what I talked about earlier with seeing some, logistics type things, but it's the conversations I had with people that are genuinely honored to be at Real Life and to be experiencing what God's doing there.
Yeah.
It's the conversations with volunteers, back in kids. That's probably the most thankless ministry in the church, where kids couldn't care less that you're there. They're ready to go hunt Easter eggs, but these volunteers just love their kids so well. I walked out with a lot of joy and a lot of hope as I look forward to the future, both of Real Life, but then of mine and our family's investment in it. I feel like I just smiled the whole way home.
So cool, man. It's so easy for those that have been a part of Real Life for the last handful of years. I mean, we're not an old church. This September will be 6 years for us. But for those that have been around for 3 or 4 years, all they've known is steady, even rapid growth. And that's really easy to take for granted when it's all you've known. But it's remarkable. So Sunday we had our largest ever attendance in the history of our church for any day, over 1,400 people in the house. It's so
I think
awesome.
It was 1,421.
Thank
the
you
exact
for knowing
number.
The exact number. It fires me up. Every yeah. person matters. Yeah, like every this joy and hope that you just described that you're experiencing, that's available for every 1,421 people.
That's right.
Right. And so, yeah, we love celebrating every single person that God brings in. The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few.
I saw so many people that invited their families that were in town to join them. It's like they wanted to, almost like they wanted to show off what God's doing at Real Life to their family who's never seen it before. Yeah. I'm curious though, Freddie, what was it like for you on Easter Sunday? I mean, this is your church, but you were also there on Easter Sunday. What was it like for you kind of getting ready for it and then experiencing it too?
Yeah. Wow. When you find something that's worth giving your all for and you make great sacrifices for those things, when you see it flourish, it's hard to describe how rewarding it is. And man, that's what I want for everybody to find something that so aligns with their values, that so aligns with a sense of Godward direction, that they feel like they can give their all to it, leave it all out on the court. That's the way I feel about Real Life and God's call on my life here in this place. And so we give it all. We just give it all, and we don't neglect our family, and we love our neighbor and all the things, but just it's all part of it. We don't embrace the balanced life. We embrace the leveraged life. And so we leverage our life for what we believe matters most. And we make great sacrifices. And then when you see it flourish, it's hard to describe how rewarding. So Sunday was immensely rewarding for me. I was sharing with you guys earlier today, early in the morning, I rose early. I felt more prepared for my sermon than I have ever, probably on Easter Sunday. And rose very, very early Sunday morning. Had driven back from Birmingham the day before for baseball tournament for Jack. Nothing is sacred anymore. Easter weekend baseball tournament. But even when I woke up, I felt a spiritual resistance that felt like it was a physical presence in the air. That may freak a little people out, me saying it that way, but that's the only way I know how to describe it. It just felt like there was a cloud, a heaviness, a blanket that was pushing against me, trying to stifle my faith, trying to stifle my connection with the Lord. And I wasn't surprised by it. I've felt it before. And I don't always credit it to a demonic force. Sometimes it's just the reality of living in a broken world and you didn't get enough sleep the night before, But I really did sense there being a spiritual resistance of what we were attempting to do with and for the Lord. And so as we moved into that, I sensed it even in the worship gathering in the first service, and I almost sensed almost a little bit of apathy in people's hearts, a little bit of hesitancy, a little bit of I'm not ready, but our worship team was ready, and they were prepared, and they seemed to not be reacting or responding at all to the engagement in the room or what I was sensing by way of resistance. And they just pressed right into the presence of the Lord with passion. And I kind of think during that first service, there's a little bit of a breaking free of that resistance. And then by the time the second service kind of rolled in, I just sensed Jesus like sitting on the throne in that room. And so it was great. I wasn't surprised by the big crowd. I wasn't surprised by all the faces. I was just overjoyed. My heart was filled with expectation that God was going to show up and kind of do his thing. And it was great joy, bro.
You know, that makes sense. You mentioned this to our team post-service, that you've never felt freer than you did on Easter Sunday. And now I'm connecting what you said there with what you just said now.
Yeah.
Going, okay, this wasn't just a, I'm more prepared. This wasn't just a, hey, it's a fun Easter Sunday and I'm wearing a nice sport coat. It's, no, there actually was a spiritual heaviness that you felt.
Yeah.
That then when that's gone, you do feel a freedom.
Yeah.
So here's my question though. I popped into all three services, but I sat in the third service, and you did this classic preacher move of, with every head bowed and every eye just closed.
Are you making fun of the invitation time?
My turn to talk, not yours, Freddie. You said, okay, if you're ready to, you know, receive Jesus right now, just look up at me. Well, I'm following the rules, so I'm not looking up.
Yeah.
Which is fine, I get it. But it also means I don't know who responded.
Right.
And I want to stand up on my chair and shout, and because I'm excited that people are responding.
Yeah.
Can you give us an update on what was that moment like?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see a lot of people respond? What can we celebrate here in this moment?
Well, Clay and Sam will tell you, as a staff member, you're actually allowed to look up. And we want you to
look. Nobody told me this. Yeah, well,
you're the new guy, so we're telling you now on the podcast with everybody listening. They typically will look up and help me identify, and will often follow up individually with folks, you know, and kind of with an apology. Hey, sorry, I was actually looked up and I saw you respond. Yeah, man, I mean, we probably had about 10 people. That may be conservative, but probably about 10 people spread across three services that seemed to be indicating that they were praying to receive Christ. Pastor Clay's already followed up with a couple of those. One said, you know what, I've been trusting Christ for a while now, but anytime there's a public opportunity, I'm always like full on, yes, I'm going to renew my commitment. And another one's like, you know what, I've been filling this pool for a while. So it seemed like Sunday may have been the culmination of the Lord drawing this individual. So yeah, we've got a handful of folks that filled out cards that we're following up with. And it's just a beautiful, you know, we don't do that every Sunday. I am wanting to cultivate more of a prayerful response time with our elders down front, not a traditional altar call per se, but more of a culture of responding. And so we can talk about it in a minute, but in this upcoming sermon series in particular, like every Sunday, I want there to be like a good opportunity for folks to respond in a way that may feel like a traditional altar call. But yeah. You know what? One of the other things too, and I think that there's probably something, there's always somebody the other day was saying something that made me remember this old John Piper quote of like, when you're looking for that one thing that God's doing, he's usually doing 1,000, you know? And it's like, we're always looking, what's that? What, why is God doing this? You know, there's gotta be a purpose in this. Well, actually, no, there's 100 purposes, you know, and it would blow your mind if he pulled back the curtain and showed you all of them. But, yeah. John Tyson, pastor of Church in the City, New York City, once said, you're going to do your best work in your 40s. And now that shouldn't make everybody in their 50s and 60s depressed. But the idea, it'll probably ring true for everybody in their 50s and 60s. The idea is you're in that place where your experience and your energy converge, where, you know, you're not just getting started. No offense, Clay Bebe. You just, but you're not like 65 and like getting and tired, right? It's like you've made a ton of mistakes, and you've got a little wisdom, and you've got some experience. You've got perhaps you even have a little bit of expertise, and that converges while you still have a lot of energy. And Tyson just argues, you know, in seasons, you're going to do your best work in your 40s. I heard that quote when I was pastoring in Arizona, and it almost began to haunt me, like in a wonderful way. Like, what am I going to give my 40s to? And so I, you know, Ben, I don't know how to explain it other than to just refer to the beauty of God's design and order in his universe. And in Ecclesiastes 3, you see this, that there are seasons, right? Seasons of life. We were joking about that earlier with the house, you know, a season to build, a season to tear down. But I feel like I'm in this season where I'm bringing to bear, on the church. You guys are doing sign language over here. I'm trying to figure out what you guys are saying. DJ Clay Bebe and Ben Reed. Sorry, guys. I'm so easily distracted. Squirrel. I feel like I'm bringing to bear this experience and this energy for such a time as this. And so Sunday, there's a sweetness. There's a real fulfilling, okay, I'm right in the place God wants me to be.
Well, and then, I mean, you said earlier, you sell yourself out for something, and then to see it flourishing, you sacrifice for something and to see it flourishing, it's fulfilling. Maybe that's the word too. There's a ton of fulfillment in there when you're doing what God's called you to do. And you also happen to be in this, crosshairs of you've got energy and you've got some level of expertise. Yeah. You better hang on though. You're almost out of your 40s. So.
I got 4 more years, man. Four and a half. I'm 46.
I'm just a few years behind you there.
Yeah, it's all downhill, man, in 4 years. Real life. It's just all downhill. Find a new church in 4 years.
No, you're just going to be tired.
I'll just be passing the baton to Clay Bebe.
You're just going
to
need more coffee. So as you think back on your sermon, was there something that you cut for time reason or for other reason that maybe could have made it onto the floor, but you cut it, that maybe you want to share with us now?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good question. On Easter, I'm usually intentionally like more brief.
Yeah.
I don't know if I really had a whole lot of trimming down. This is very rare. Usually you're editing, you know, trimming it, taking things out. I think I went into it going, I hope it's not going to be too short. I think I'm so geared up on Easter to plan for a shorter message than usual, and or at least not to allow it to be a long message. And I think God gave me the grace to like hit about 30 minutes each time.
I've heard that articulated before. Tell us why you're trying to hit a shorter message on Easter than any other week.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot going on. And more important than people being, you know, informed or persuaded or convicted or inspired by a sermon, people need relational touch. People need relational connection. And so if you preach long and then people have to rush to get out the door to get to lunch or get to grandma's for Easter, Easter egg hunt, whatever, then there's no opportunity for there to be connection, relational touch. You know, I mean, also Easter for a lot of people, for some, it's going to be their first impression. You only have one opportunity to make a first impression. So you want to give people enough to make them want to come back and not stuff them so full that they feel like, well, I got my fill for the next 3 months, you know? So, I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Such a humble response, because you've got the mic on a Sunday and you could just let it rip for 45 minutes, but you see that there's other factors at play on an Easter Sunday, and you see that God's going to work in ways beyond just what you say from a mic. I think all of that combined to make a really incredible Easter Sunday. Sam at the end, he kind of teased out, and you mentioned this earlier, but he teased out the next series. Can you give us a little kind of flyby of, he called it, Can I Know?
Yeah.
What is, What should we look forward to this upcoming Sunday?
Yeah, a short series kicking off this Sunday titled Can I Know? And we're just focusing on the basics. Can I know I'm going to heaven when I die? Can I know that my sins are forgiven? One of the things that's so wonderful from the biblical authors, you think of John. John clearly states his purpose for writing the book of John. He clearly states his purpose for writing the book of 1 John. I write to you, to those who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And so doubts are real in people's lives, and different denominational strains might teach different kinds of ideas that cause people to live in fear. And I think, you know, coming off of Easter here, we present the gospel clearly. I wanted to just continue the conversation. I wanted to answer a real question that people may have in their hearts, and really be invitational for folks to come back and then focus on the basics. So I can't wait. I think God's going to save people. I think God's going to give people assurance. I think people are going to take a step forward to be baptized. I think there's probably 30 people in our church right now, if not more, that need to take a step to being baptized. I mean, it might be close to 50, you know, genuine believers that have never been baptized. So podcast listeners, would you pray right now that the Lord would speak to every individual, that they would go public with their faith? You know, you just think, I mean, if folks are hanging on to this for whatever reason, fear of being in front of people, fear of embarrassment, whatever it is, of not taking that step to being baptized, What breakthrough might the Lord want to bring in their relationship with Him through a simple step of obedience?
I've talked to so many people that would say, well, I've been following Jesus so long, I probably should have done this like 25 years ago, but yeah, I never did. So I don't know if I can do it.
Yeah.
And their story, I mean, we think about the grandiose, like, you know, I was addicted to this, or I abandoned my family and then I came back and I got baptized. And those are incredible stories. But the story of I've been faithfully following Jesus, but I neglected this step and now I'm going to make it right. Those stories are so encouraging to people. And so I think to tag on to that, Freddie, whatever your story is and whatever your reason for saying no over the last 5 months or 50 years, one act of obedience that you do this next week or over the next month or 2 months can have ripple effects in other people's lives. You just never know what God's going to do when you say yes to the obedience that God puts in front of you.
Yeah. So I'm pretty fired up. You know, I would encourage folks. You know, oftentimes we'll go through books expositionally and there's a real depth to it. And I don't know that there won't be a depth to the sermon series, but it'll be very focused and basic. And so I would encourage our podcast listeners, this upcoming sermon series is a series that you want to invite your lost friends to. This upcoming sermon series, it is a series you want to invite your coworkers to. You want to get them in the house. And so whatever you can do, you know, for the next 3 to 4 weeks, we're going to be really focused on the basics of, can I know that I'm forgiven? Can I know I'm going to go to heaven when I die? Can I know that I'm saved? You want to do what you can to get them there. It's going to be great.
That's good. What's coming up over the next few months?
You got Mother's Day. Did you know, Ben, you probably knew this, Mother's Day is like the third highest attended Sunday in the calendar year.
Easter?
Typically, yep.
Then Christmas.
Right.
Then Mother's Day.
Yeah, Mother's Day. So we'll be doing baby dedications. So if you know a baby at Real Life, point them to the website. Tell them to get their baby dedication registered.
Point their parents to the website.
What's that?
Point their parents to the website. Right.
Thank you.
Websites.
This is what happens when you record a podcast the Tuesday after Easter. Just so you know, this is.
I think that I blame, one. Made, I think blame, Clay laughed on that one.
I blame Grant Louder, Clam Chowder. So we have baby and child dedications coming up, which is a wonderful time in our church. So if you know a family that has a young child or a baby that has never been dedicated to the Lord, it's a wonderful time in the middle of the church family to pray for your child and to ask for the church's encouragement and support as you seek to raise your child in the ways of the Lord. So that's coming up Mother's Day. You can go to the website today to register. You can text mission to 97,000 to register. So spread the word. Don't assume that everybody knows. Spread the word. We've got our summer camps coming up. Get signed up now. Matt, I know lots of people are planning their summers, so all of that's on the website. They can
middle
find all those details.
Middle school and high school is June 24th to 28th. Kids camp is July 24th to the 27th.
Yeah, and I just encourage folks, like, don't underestimate the powerful things that God wants to do in a few days, a week away at a camp. Don't let finances be an obstacle. Please have a conversation with us if that's a challenge for you. We've already had generous people coming forward saying, hey, we want a scholarship students for camp. But it's going to be great. It's going to be powerful. We're expecting great things from God in camp. But the key is get signed up now. Sign your kids up now.
It's filling up fast.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, space is limited. You know, you have to reserve a certain number of spots, you know, and so make sure your kid doesn't miss out. Yep.
It's going to be a fun few months.
It's going to be so great, man. I want our folks to pray for you guys as you look for a house.
Thanks, yeah.
You guys hope to move the whole family here this summer.
Yep.
You hoping early summer rather than late summer?
I hope so.
Let's get you here, get you settled, get you ready for the fall. Community groups will be ramping down in May. And so if somebody wants to lead a summer study, they can email you, ben@reallifesango.com. I'm curious, if we don't have it up, we'll get it up by the time this podcast drops. But on our text menu, there'll be an option to express interest in leading a summer study. And so go ahead and text mission to 97,000. You can lead a study that's 2 weeks long, 5 weeks long, 10 weeks long. Our pastoral staff just wants to approve the study. But you pick the place, you pick the days and times you're going to meet. And then we promote those summer studies. And those are in lieu of community groups through the summer. It's the time on the calendar year that we will do niche Bible studies. Ben, there's every kind of study that you could imagine we've done. We've done doctrinal studies. We've done practical finance studies, you know, and everything in between. So that's coming up this summer, summer studies. Good stuff. Hey, man, watching this building go up, is it blowing your mind as much as it is blowing mine?
It's right outside my window. At the office. I met with a couple guys this morning, and they were staring straight at the building and just couldn't quit asking questions about it. They're excited to see it, too. It's almost every single day. It's like more gets put on. And then, you know, I'm popping over there to see. It's really exciting. It is.
Yeah, I'm so fired up. Please continue to pray that'll go smoothly. It's not uncommon for a pipe to get chipped on and bust and this, you know, those kinds of things, and them having to patch things like that. That's all common on a construction site, but it would be great for those things to be minimal, for things to be ordered on time, delivered on time, everybody on the project to be protected. And it's a great day. I'm about spent, man. Tuesday after Easter, thankful for the breath in my lungs, and it's nice to be huddled up on the podcast with you today.
Hey, before we close out, if people want to know how they can pray for you specifically, here we sit the week after Easter, kicking off a new sermon series. We've got building stuff coming on. We've got all these the camps and Mother's Day, all this stuff that's coming. How can we best pray for you?
Thank you. Pray that my preaching will be accompanied with the power of God, that it won't be a demonstration of men, but it'll be a demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. I just want to be a vessel useful to the Lord. And I really believe that the preaching on Sunday is the tip of the spear for all that God's doing in the life of our church. It's the springboard out of which everything else is flowing. And so we want to pray for that moment, that God uses that moment, and then it just trickles into every area in the life of the church. So thank you for praying for that. Pray for favor and skill as we build our staff team. So there's a lot of strategizing that goes into building out our staff team, and we're in a pattern of growth as a church. So you and I are strategizing for the building of our staff team in specific roles for our staff. And so please pray that God would connect us to the right people at the right time before we move into the building, so that our team can be together. And those are the biggest things, you know. I just heard, I was texting with a pastor friend today, and we were reminiscing on one of our friends from college recently got a divorce. He found somebody else and was unfaithful to his wife, and heartbreaking. And so pray for my own personal holiness, that the Lord would guard every step, every step, every meditation of my mind, the heart, you know, the heart. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, if any man thinks he stand, let him take heed lest he fall. And so, man, I want to be a clean vessel in the master's hands, useful, filled with the Spirit of God. Thanks for asking.
So here, if you just heard all those things, here's my encouragement to you. For the longest time, I would hear prayer requests that people would share with me, and I would just try to remember them, and I didn't. I was terrible at it. So what I started doing, this is my habit. It doesn't have to be yours. Find your habit that works, but I'll throw calendar reminders for myself to remember to pray for things. And so this could be the most important thing that you do all week long for real life. Maybe you serve in an area, maybe you lead a group, maybe you do all kinds of different things, but it could be that the most important thing that you do is to pray for these three things. So I'm going to encourage you, if you want to just steal my discipline, great, you can have it. Put it on your calendar, remind yourself to pray for these things. We just don't know the impact it's going to have if we'll choose to carry the weight of what God's doing here at Real Life.
I love what you just said. It reminded me of this. I was listening years ago to these lectures on biblical eldership in the local church by John Piper. Mm. It was kind of this pastor's conference thing, this Q&A. And people were asking him in the context of his elder team who had the most influence. And the idea was kind of like, well, as senior pastor, do you have more influence than the other elders? Like, how does this work? And he was trying to answer this question. And he made this statement about practically, he says, practically, as a senior pastor, I have more influence than, you know, and he stopped himself and he said, no, there's two women in the life of our church that have more influence than anybody else in our church. And he said, because they pray. Mm. And it was, it just struck me in that moment of going, yeah, it's the people that are willing to carve out the time to sit in the presence of God, to pray, that move the hand of heaven, that actually influence the Father's heart to work on behalf of his church. So I love what you said, I just amen that with that little story that I remember of, it's easy to look at the guy on the stage and think, man, God's really using him. But I think, no, it's the one in the closet that the Lord sees that nobody else sees. No, God is answering those prayers. Yeah, bro. Hey, thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for asking me. You may not ask me again. We'll just see.
Yeah, no, we'll get you back, man. We'll get you back. There's mics right here that we need to bring some other real lifers in. But hey, man, until next time, keep it real.
Keep it Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something special in your heart today. We hope to see you on Sunday very soon. Keep it real. Keep it Jesus.